Good morning. Blessing to be with you on this Lord's Day and spend a little time in God's Word together and in fellowship and in partaking of the Lord's communion. I pray these efforts are a blessing to you this morning. They are to me. Let's begin by going to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our God, our great Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, for blessing us with another day. Father, we do acknowledge and appreciate that every day is a blessing from you. And in reality, every breath that we draw, Father, is only because you allow us to and is a gift from you as well. Thank you, Father, for blessing us in this world with all that you've created for us to enjoy. Father, thank you again also for all the spiritual blessings that we find as Christians and that are only found in Christ. Father, we pray that we might come to understand and appreciate these blessings more. Also, Father, we pray that as we learn and come to understand, you might use us to help others come to faith in Christ and make a decision to get into Christ themselves and enjoy these great blessings in their lives as well. Please be with us as we study another portion of your word. Father, help me in teaching it to teach clearly, Father, in a way that might build up and encourage others. Most of all, Father, we pray that we might take your word deep into our hearts and our minds, and that it might have the desired effect in our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we continue our expository preaching lessons from the book of Ephesians. And we're looking at these spiritual blessings that Paul mentions and teaches on that are only found in Christ. And I'm reminded that at one point I was in the Coast Guard and stationed over at Horseshoe Cove near the Golden Gate Bridge. And we were given the opportunity to, for a very cheap membership fee, to join the Presidio Yacht Club. I think it's changed names now. And I forget, it was very cheap, maybe $50 for the year or so. And so I joined up, and then there were these benefits to joining that yacht club. You could use the launch ramp, and you could use, if you had a boat, you could use one of the slips there for a small additional fee. If you had a family, you know, birthday party for the kid, you could use the facilities, the yacht club building, and which was very special and unique. So there were all these privileges that went along with being in the club, if you will. And those who were not in the club, they weren't offered those same services and benefits. Well, in a similar way, in the spiritual realm, there are certain blessings that God has for us that are only found for Christians, those who are in Christ. In a previous lesson, in the previous sermon and lesson, I mentioned that the Bible makes it clear to get into Christ, we come to believe that he is who he claimed to be, the Son of God. We make a decision to name him as our Lord, repenting of our sins, making a decision to turn away from living according to our will, and now submit to living according to the will of God and the will of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then we make a decision to obey the gospel, to be baptized into Christ, being raised to walk in newness of life. And that's how we find ourselves in Christ and enjoying all the spiritual blessings that are only found in Christ. This morning I'm going to read Ephesians 1 and verses 1 through 7, and then we're going to focus on, to begin with, the redemption that is only found in Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. Verse 7, in him, in Christ, We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses or sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Sorry, I couldn't help but go on to verse 8 there. So in Christ and only in Christ, we have redemption along with these other spiritual blessings that Paul is teaching. In the ancient world, to redeem was to pay the necessary ransom to set free a prisoner of war, a captive, or a debtor who is sold into slavery. For 2 years, myself and my family lived in Lubbock, Texas, as we were going through preaching and ministry training. And just outside of Lubbock, there's a little community in town called Ransom Canyon, Texas. And it was named Ransom Canyon because the history I read tells that the banditos would take captives, bring them back to Ransom Canyon, and then demand a ransom, either in gold or horses or whatever it might be, so they could free their comrade from the banditos. I think that's how you pronounce it. But I found that very interesting that the whole town was named, Ransom Canyon, that area. Well, in the spiritual realm, the Bible makes it clear that every one of us as human beings were slaves of sin at one point before becoming a Christian. One section of scripture that points this out is Romans chapter 6 and verses 16 through 18. Do you not know that when you present yourself as slaves for obedience, that you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you Christians were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. That form of teaching being the teaching, referring to the teaching of the apostles and the teaching of Paul himself, that brought them to the point where they obeyed the gospel and became Christians. And having been freed from sin, now as a Christian, you became slaves of righteousness. You see, the price to rescue us from slavery to sin was the precious blood of Jesus, the very Son of God. 1 Peter 1 and verses 17 through 21, the Apostle Peter makes this clear. Peter writes there, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay here on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but rather with the precious blood." He's referring to that precious, valuable blood of Christ. "As of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For He, Jesus, was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart." So all of us as human beings, regardless of our race, our color, our creed, where we may live, our station in life, we have this in common. We're sold as slaves to sin. God allowed that to happen, that we might reach out to Him, ask, seek, and knock, and find His Son. Trust in His precious blood that was shed on our behalf. Respond to His love, and then be freed from sin as we obey the gospel. Then we experience, as Paul goes on to say, the forgiveness of sins. Literally, the dismissing of acts of transgression, when you go back to the literal translation. You see, God's forgiveness provided through the blood of Christ is not a mere covering up of our sins. God's forgiveness totally erases and removes our sin. that's unique to Christianity and unique to the power of God and God's plan. The Greek word for sins here is, I'll try to get this right, the parapetoma. These sins, plural, are referring to our transgressions, the times we step across the line that God has drawn. All the times we have deviated from the path of truth and righteousness are referred to here. Forgiveness granted according to the riches of God's grace in verse 7. Remember, Paul said, in Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. It's only by the grace of God we could ever experience forgiveness of our sins before our Almighty God and Judge. Paul points out our forgiveness is drawn from the riches or the wealth of God's grace. God lavished the riches of His grace on us with all wisdom and understanding, Paul points out. In other words, God has spared no expense in providing for us, His children, forgiveness and redemption, as well as these other spiritual blessings that He's lavished upon us in Christ. His grace was lavished. Think about that word, lavished. It literally means that His grace was poured out overflowingly in great abundance on our behalf. Romans 5 and verse 20, Paul proclaims, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. But let's look at that proclamation in context. Romans 5 and verses 20 and 21, we find that verse in context. The law, Paul points out, came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Paul was well aware that as the Roman Christians read this, they may misunderstand this teaching and think that they had a license to sin. So to ensure that the Christians in Rome, as well as the Christians for us here in Vallejo or Christians who are living today, don't misinterpret Paul's teaching as a license to sin, Paul goes on to teach in Romans 6 and verses 1 through 7, what shall I say then? Or what shall we say then, Paul says, a rhetorical question. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Implying that of course not. We're not going to continue in sin so that God's grace may just increase and continue to flow like a waterfall of grace. He goes on to say, or don't you know that all of us who, Christians, disciples of Christ, who have been baptized into Christ, have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And Paul's reminding these Christians in Rome and reminding us this morning of our conversion. He's reminding us of the time when we were baptized into Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, having all of our sins forgiven. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. And there Paul's reminding them and reminding us of that hope of that comes along with being united with Him in His resurrection. As we're raised out of that watery grave of baptism, we now look forward to spending eternity in heaven with the risen Jesus Christ Himself. Knowing this, Paul goes on to say, that our old self, that old self before we were buried with Him in baptism, was crucified with Him as we were buried with Him in that watery grave, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if you're like me, I was baptized and became a Christian, made my commitment to Christ when I had just turned 19 years old. And I've struggled with sin and with temptation to sin. And the good news is that as we follow God's word, as we strive to walk in the light as He is in the light and allow His blood to continually provide that cleansing that He promises, we can not only be forgiven and freed from sin initially, we can stay free from sin. And only God can offer a blessing like that. The grace, Paul points out, was lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding in verse 8. So along with God's generous gift, there's even more wisdom and insight into God's plan of salvation. We're blessed to understand God's plan and to live now in light of God's plan of saving us and now cooperating with God, our Father in heaven. In verse 9, and He made known to us the mystery of His will. What a great blessing that is. God has opened His mind and His plan to us. His plan of salvation. In earlier ages, this plan was kept secret, Ephesians 3 and verse 9. Paul writes in Ephesians 3 and verses 8 and 9, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. To preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Now, it's very interesting. This word mystery in the Greek is mysterion. It does not mean something that is complicated, obscure, or difficult, or impossible to understand. It simply means and refers to something that was kept secret until God chose to reveal it. No one could have determined in advance God would save the world through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. But once God revealed His plan, it's really plain and simple when we open our minds and our hearts to His plan. Paul says He did all this according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. I hope we can let that pause and let that sink in a little bit this morning and think about it. According to God's good pleasure, first of all, we're blessed to be privy to know what pleases God. God's good pleasure, the Greek word is eudokia. It's the same word used in verse 5. It's not just God's plan to save the world, it's His pleasure to do so. And this blessing of salvation, redemption, forgiveness, as well as the other blessings, are only found in Christ. Well, I pray and hope that you've been blessed by the lesson this morning. We're going to transition now into preparing our hearts and minds for the Lord's Supper. I'm going to turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 22, and starting in verse 14. When the hour had come, He, referring to Jesus, reclined at the table, and the apostles with Him. And He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when He had taken the cup and given thanks, He said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the kingdom of God comes. And when He had taken some bread and given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, He took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in My blood. With those thoughts in mind, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer for the unleavened bread that represents the body of Christ. Our Father, our God in heaven, we thank You again for all the blessings in Christ. Specifically, as we studied this morning, Father, the redemption that You provide and the forgiveness of sins, Father, we thank You and we praise You. We thank You, Father, for the sacrifice of Christ the pain and the suffering He was willing to endure in His body on our behalf, the pain and suffering that each one of us deserves for our sins and for our trespasses. We pray that as we partake of this unleavened bread, we can do so, Father, with a focus and with a mind that is acceptable in Your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer for the fruit of the vine that represents that precious and valuable blood that was shed on our behalf. Father, our great God in heaven, Father, we thank You for providing a way through faith in Your Son for us to experience the forgiveness of our sins. We thank You, Father, for that blood that was shed roughly 2,000 years ago for us. We thank You, Father, for the cleansing power that it provides, Father, to cleanse our hearts, our minds, our spirit, and our lives from sin. We pray that as we partake of this fruit of the vine representing His blood, we can do so in a way that's pleasing and acceptable to You. We pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we part ways on this Lord's Day, let's go to our Heavenly Father just one more time, asking for strength and help in the coming week. Our God, our Father, we come to You in prayer together again. We're thankful that we can come to You in prayer at any time and in any place. And Father, in any circumstances we find ourselves in, and You're always there to listen. You're always there to answer and be attentive to our prayers. And Father, we can look back on our lives and see the power of prayer and how You come through for us every time we call and cry out to You. We call and cry out to You this morning to help us in the coming week to live, Father, as the light that You've called us to be and the salt of the earth that You expect us to be, Father. We know we can never live up to that high calling and that high standard without Your help, the help we find from Your Word, and the encouragement from one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Please help us, Father, to take what we learn deeply into our heart and live it out during our short time here in this world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.